Okay, let's sing our choruses this evening. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation, so rich and free. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be God's child. Oh, it is wonderful to have your sins forgiven. Oh, it is wonderful to be redeemed, justified, forever reconciled. Open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of Isaiah. I got just a little bit nervous this morning when Pastor Braden preached and said, open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. I thought, what are the chances? But we had a 1 in 66 chance that it wouldn't be the same chapter, so it worked out all right. We're in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Did you see the title of the message tonight in the bulletin this morning? I don't know if you pay attention to that or not. But I put the Sunday night sermon title in the bulletin. And the title is, What the World Needs Now. How many of you think you know what the sermon's going to be about already? What the world needs now. Nobody? You know me too well, don't you? Back in the mid-1960s, there was a very popular song, What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. That's the only thing that there's just too little of. And maybe in the mid-60s, maybe that was true. It was a time of great racial divide, the riots in Los Angeles and Detroit. The Vietnam War was building up, and that was causing a great divide. Also, people were scared to death of communism. The Russians were going to get to the moon before us, and once they got there, it was all over. They were going to control space, and so love was the main theme, and you know the hippie movement and all that came out of the 60s, make love, not war. That was it. Well, that's not the topic tonight. Not that the world doesn't need love, but there's one thing that I think that we're going to see in Scripture tonight that is more necessary and more needful than even love. Because there has to be a basis and a foundation for love. And without that foundation and basis, whatever is built on it is not going to last. We're going to read quite a few verses tonight. We're going to start in Isaiah 59 and verse number 1 and read down through verse number 15. And as we're reading this, I know you don't want to hear this, but Isaiah is giving a description of society in 700 B.C., Now think about it. He's giving a description of society when he's writing 700 years before Christ. And yet this could be written this morning. This is a description of the world and the society we live in right now today. And I want you to keep that mindset as we read down through these verses. I want you to think of how real and how practical it is for right now if we have a correct understanding of our times right now. Isaiah 59, beginning in verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. Praise the Lord for that. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Isaiah is not writing to an individual, he's writing to a nation. And he's telling that nation that God's hand isn't shortened, His ear is not heavy. He can do it, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. I said this in Sunday school this morning. America is living on borrowed time. The judgment of God cannot be very far off. The only thing we've got going for us is where we started from. Brother Harding tells us there are only two nations that were started or founded on the Word of God. That was the nation of Israel and the nation of America. Our United States of America was founded on the Word of God. Regardless of what the intellectuals of our day say, our nation was founded on the Word of God. But we've come a long way, baby, as the expression says. And we've come a long way down. And we are in that position now that our iniquities have separated between us and our God. Our sins have hid His face from us that He will not hear. Verse 3, for your hands are defiled with blood. You could put abortion right in there. Your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue has muttered perverseness. Is that not a description of our society today? Even those that maybe not are involved in that wickedness give their stamp of approval upon it. Those that do not agree with it necessarily are silent against it. And your tongue hath muttered perverses. Verse 4, none calleth for justice. Back in the 1970s, Dr. Falwell started a movement called the Moral Majority. And they referred themselves as the Silent Majority. Well, the silent majority, we should never be silent when it comes about the things of God, when it comes about righteousness, when it comes about against wickedness. We should not be silent. But here it said, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. Skip down to the last half of verse 6. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Have you ever read something in the news and thought, how in the world did somebody come up with something so wicked? And it always amazes me that when you think somebody's done something that can never be topped, somebody else comes along and tops it. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace, they know not. New Testament says they'll say peace, peace, when there is no peace. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. Nothing's wrong. That doesn't mean there's no judgment. Nothing's wrong. Everything's accepted. Everything's tolerated. Except the truth. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. That describes our modern society right now. Wandering around in darkness. Coming up with things all the time that are just more ridiculous than the thing before it. We roar all like bears. We mourn like doves. We look for judgment. There is none for salvation, but it is far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before Thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are within us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward. And justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Truth is fallen in the street, verse 14. Yea, truth faileth. What the world needs now is truth. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, I would like to preach a happy sermon. God, I'd like to thrill our hearts and encourage us about the things of heaven, the free gift of salvation, the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we've got so many things to thank You for. But Father, tonight you've laid on my plate a message that we don't particularly enjoy, but God, we need to hear. Because too many times we are deceived and tricked into thinking that things are better than they are. And the only reason, God, is that we can be tricked into that is when we disregard truth. Because the truth is obvious. And the truth is what we've just read in Isaiah 59, that our sins and our iniquities have separated us from our God. Both collectively as a nation and individually as sinners. Father, we've got a problem. And we desperately need Your truth. And so, Father, tonight I pray that in the course of this message, You would just confirm in our hearts the absence of that truth in our modern society. Open our eyes. Take away the calluses that are there. Help us to see in the light of Your Word exactly the situation around us. And God, help us, having done that, to stand. To stand for Your truth and to stand for Your Word. Bless Your Word this evening, our study of it, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice, if you would, verse number 14, which is my text tonight in Isaiah 59. Judgment is turned away backward. Justice standeth afar off. Equity cannot enter, because truth is fallen in the street. If I can illustrate this in a way to maybe help us understand it, let's think of truth as a giant redwood tree. And that giant redwood tree has been cut down, is now blocking the road. And because truth has been cut down and fallen, now judgment is turned away. There's a traffic jam. They can't get through. Justice standeth afar off. Its way is blocked because truth has fallen. And equity cannot enter. Have you noticed in the last 12 months or so that the word equity is the common catchphrase now for what's going on in society? It behooves us to have ears that are tuned to the Word of God. Because the more your ears are tuned to the Word of God, the more you're going to recognize the falsehood of the world. The reason that many Christians are gullible tonight and many churches are gullible tonight and the world is gullible tonight is because they have no idea what's inside of here. And they get their news or their information from the modern day media, almost all of them without God, as Pastor Brayton preached this morning. Look for the candidates running for office right now that mention Jesus Christ. Now they'll say God because that's a generic that covers all bases. But look for those that will mention Jesus Christ. We live in a world that's foreign to that, and everything that's coming out of the lips of all those people, I don't care, you name me any of them, what's coming out of all their lips is truth that's foreign to this book right here. And the only way you're going to spot it is to get in this book right here and to read its pages. That's the only guarantee that you're not going to buy everything they're selling from now till doomsday. And this past NFL season, I'm not a big NFL watcher, I gave up on them a while ago. But all of them were wearing those toboggan or hats standing on the sidelines. I think of Ben Roethlisberger wearing his this past football season. And they're wearing now, and used to be they weren't allowed to wear advertisements. You know, somebody put John 3:16 and that black stuff under their eyes and they get fined. But now they're allowed to push everything that's socially acceptable right now. Now that ought to set the warning signs off right there. That now they're allowed to push the things that are of a social agenda. And so the word equity was on their hats. And I was telling somebody that I bet, this is not a slam against Ben Roethlisberger, I bet he doesn't even know what the word equity means. He probably thinks that says equality or something. He can't even spell it right. But the Bible tells us that when truth is fallen, look what it says, equity cannot enter. There can be no equity unless there's truth. There can be no justice unless there's truth. There can be no judgment unless there's truth. And society is pushing for judgment and justice and equity without truth. What have they been telling our kids for 20 years now? There are no absolute truths. Truth is relative. That's been the push for 20 years now. And if there is no truth, there is no equity. You know what the word equity means? It means a quality of being fair and impartial. Fair and impartial. Now when we say the world, when the Bible talks about love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, we talk about the world. What we're talking about is the flow of modern society. That's what the world is. So when I say the world, don't just think about, you know, Africa, Asia, China, Europe, all that kind of. The world simply means what the philosophy of the current world system is. And that system is not about fairness. It's not about equity, because they've eliminated truth. What they've told us is, what's true for you might not be true for him. What's true for them might not be true for us. All truth is relative. Can I tell you this? That's a lie from hell. And the minute somebody says that to you, you should write off everything they tell you from that point forward. Nothing else they say is of any value if they don't have the truth first. Because the truth is the cornerstone of all this stuff. And so what the world needs now is truth. I want to give you three things about truth tonight. This is a lot of Bible, a lot of Bible turning, but I think that's a good thing. I told my wife before I left for church tonight, I said, I don't know how I'm going to get all these verses in one message. She said, you'll find a way. I want to give you three things about this truth. Number one, the scarcity of truth. The scarcity of truth. We see it in Isaiah 59, verse number 14. Truth is fallen in the street. Truth faileth. Do you believe the Bible? I'm talking to a bunch of folks. You're in church on Sunday night. I'm assuming you do. But that doesn't necessarily mean you do. You might just be here because you're here. But you've got your own opinions and your views, or you've been taught something by somebody else. And no, I don't agree with everything the Bible says. The Bible says that truth is fallen. That truth faileth. So if you and I are going to look for truth, where are we going to find it? It's not going to be in the world. It's not going to be around us. The truth falleth. The truth faileth. Look over in the New Testament. We'll be back to Isaiah 59. But turn over there. Look at three verses in the New Testament. Well, maybe four. Or five. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The scarcity of truth. The Bible predicted and prophesied that this was going to happen. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 3. Now, again, I'm biased. I believe my truth is going to come from God. That means my truth is fixed. My truth is unchanging. My truth is solid. And my truth says this in verse number 3 of 2 Timothy 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That describes our day today. That individual people, churches, and even Christians don't know right doctrine. That's a shame. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. That's the number one thing. If we don't know what we believe, what in the world are we doing? But it says, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. I've had people say, I know what the Bible says, but... Now look in the mirror when you say that and see if you don't see a fool talking. I know what the Bible says, but... It says they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Talking about a nation back in Isaiah 59. And we have a nation tonight that's turned their ears away from the truth. You can fill an auditorium with all kinds of different shenanigans going on. But you put a preacher up there, they'll empty that house. I don't care if it's a concert, sporting event, political rally. You put a gospel preaching preacher up there like old Billy Graham, put him up there in his day, and they'd be heading for the exits in no time. They have itching ears. They have turned their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know the greatest fable that's ever been put on mankind in our day is the fable of evolution. That you are not made by God. That you are made by an accident. Can I go back to the beginning? The minute somebody has those words come out of their mouth, you can write off everything else they say. If they don't have that down, there's nothing intelligent going to come out of their mouth. If they can't agree with God on in the beginning God, Genesis 1:1, if they can't get the first verse of the Bible right, what chance do they have of getting anything else right? So the Bible says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And we live in a society today that doesn't want to hear the truth. Somebody got the cockeyed idea that if a church would just simply be accepting of society, the church would grow. And so they no longer stand for right doctrine. They don't even stand for truth. And really, they don't stand for anything. And the world did not come into those churches anyways because they never wanted it in the first place. They have turned their ears from the truth. Look, if you would, at 1 Timothy. Turn back a few pages. 1 Timothy chapter 6. All right, they've turned their ears from the truth. If the Bible's right, you've got no question in your mind what I think about that. If the Bible's right, it describes a time where people will turn their ears from the truth. They'll hear the truth and they'll turn it off. Just like they got a hearing aid. They'll hear the truth and say, I don't want to hear that. I want something that pleases me. I want something that I agree with. I want something that I like. They've turned their ears from the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome, I like that word, wholesome words. You know what wholesome words are? Pure, clean, meaningful, not offensive. That's what wholesome words are. My Sonia was telling me, they went downtown, my sister and her husband were here this Saturday, Friday night, Saturday. And they went to Kennedy's Bakery. I stayed home with Grandma Ruth that day. They went to Kennedy's Bakery and from there walked down to the whatever the coffee shop is there on the corner. And they walked past that bar, whatever that is on the corner, Lighthouse, Gas House, something like Gaslight, something like that. They went by and the sign on the door said, No offensive language to be used in a bar. And we tried to figure out what they meant by offensive language because we won't ask you if you've been in a bar before, but in a bar there's pretty rough language in there most of the time. What would they consider offensive language? And it's probably not cussing and swearing. It's probably has something to do with the social issues of our day. And you're not allowed to say something about this or about that or about the other thing. Here in 1 Timothy 6 it says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is our example of wholesome words. And the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railing, evil surmisings. Do you understand you live in a sick world? And when I say sick, I'm not using it in the modern vernacular that somehow that means it's good. Oh, that's sick. I mean sick as in sick, diseased, corrupted, putrefying. That's the world we live in right now. It's sick and it's sinful. There is a person named Allison Walker, a graduate of John Jay College with a law degree, who was born Allison, but decided it was Allen. And when you look at that person, you wonder if it's Allison or Allen. And that person was teaching a seminar, and it had John Jay College at the bottom, on the logo at the bottom. I'm assuming this is approved. They had their college logo on it. And the topic that it was teaching about was understanding resilient strategies among minor attracted individuals. Now I'll say that again. Let you understanding resilience strategies among minor attracted individuals. Now, to just boil that down to simple for you, that means pedophiles. Minor attracted, they're attracted to kids, attracted to children. And now that is a popular topic that we can't say anything about that because that would be offensive to talk about that. You can't go into Gaslight Inn or whatever it's called. You can't go in there and talk about that. That would be offensive language to say that that's wrong. We stopped last night on our way up to the revival meeting up in Orville. We tried to stop at Dunkin' Donuts and they were closed. Middle of 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they were closed. So we went on and found a Starbucks. And I went in there and a young person was helping me get my strawberry lemonade. And I say this, you folks know me well enough. I say this with a broken heart. I stood there waiting for that young person to get my drink ready, trying to figure out whether it was a boy or a girl. And for a while I thought, well, it's a boy. Then I thought, no, it's a girl. And I never was. I tried to see the name tag, and Alex kind of covers both bases, so you don't really know anything there. Now, in our modern society, you know what they would say? They'd say, preacher, that's hate speech. I don't hate them. That's stupid. That's ridiculous for pointing out something that's really abnormal and unusual and saying you hate it. I don't hate it. I pity. I feel sorry for someone that's so confused that they don't know their own identity. Their parents knew when they were born, we're going to name this child Allison. Why? Well, because we had an ultrasound. And the ultrasound, approved by science, tells us this is going to be a girl. And so we're going to name it Allison. Then that person later decides he or she doesn't know, and her, you're not allowed to call her a he or she, it's a they or a them. You see how sick our society is? How twisted our world? We're going to entrust the future to young people that don't even know what gender they are. How are they going to figure out the difficulties of life when they're still struggling with that? And again, I don't say that with hatred and animosity. I say that with somebody that without any doubt needs the truth of the gospel. Needs Jesus Christ as their Savior to help them through life. They don't need somebody in this sick world coming and patting them on the back and encouraging them in what they're going through right there. They need somebody that's going to give them real help. And the people are going to give them aren't the ones that are affecting them and influencing them and around them. Because our society, their sins and iniquities have separated them from God. And there is no judgment and no justice and no equity because truth has fallen in the street. There's a scarcity of it. It says there in verse number 5, perverse disputings, again, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds? Who else could come up with that kind of stuff? You know, preachers said 40 years ago, when society was pushing same-sex relationships, they said, this is opening a can of worms. This isn't going to end with men with men and women with women. This is going to open the door for all kinds of wild, unusual stuff. And those of us in the 1960s or 70s could never have imagined what is going on in the world right now. And you know why it's going on? Because truth has fallen in the street. Men of perverse, disputings of men of corrupt minds, notice what it says in verse 5, destitute of the truth. They've turned their ears from the truth. Now they are destitute. There's no truth in them. What a sad condition. What a sad place to be. The scarcity of truth. One more verse. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. Talking about the scarcity of truth. One more verse. 2 Peter chapter 2. I know this is rough stuff tonight. And I know that what I'm preaching tonight would be condemned by the world. And condemned by many churches. And condemned by many Christians. You know what I say? With grace, I don't care. I know what's true. God's truth is unchanging. God's truth is eternal. What is right has always been right. What is wrong has always been wrong. And you can repackage it and put a new title on it. I mean, minor attracted individuals. Folks that want to get their hands on children. And people don't say anything against her about it. Those people are wrong. Here in 2 Peter chapter 2, look if you would at verse number 2. 2 Peter 2, 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. I know I'm on right ground. You know why? Because the way of truth by the world will be evil spoken of. They will tolerate everything in the world except the truth. The truth that comes from the Word of God. The truth that is time-tested and established. The Bible says, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Intolerant is the word. They're intolerant. Those that are screaming intolerance are intolerant. They're intolerant of the truth. If you don't agree with what they say and how they say it, you're not right. They're casting you out. They are intolerant of the truth. There is a scarcity today of truth. That brings me to point number two. And that makes point number two so vital and so important. Number one, the scarcity of truth. Number two, the source of truth. It's fallen in the street. That means it exists. The truth is evil spoken of. That means it exists. It can't fall unless it's there. It can't be spoken of unless it's there. And they can't be destitute of it unless it exists. So you get that. There is truth out there. It's just the majority of people have turned their ears away from it and rejected it and turned their backs on it. But there is a source of truth. Look, if you would, at John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Here's a very familiar phrase. Jesus Christ is standing before Pontius Pilate. Pilate is judging him, going to condemn him to death. He interviews Jesus Christ three different times and finds no fault in this man. The third time he says, at all. We saw that in Sunday school with the Apostle Paul this morning. They could find no fault in him, yet the kangaroo court still hung on to him. Did not give him his freedom. And Jesus, Pilate says in verse 37 of John 18, Pilate says, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice, the voice of Jesus Christ. If you're of the truth, the source of your truth is Jesus Christ. You get that? So if someone doesn't listen to what Jesus Christ says, they are not of the truth. Deductive reasoning, they call that. Jesus said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, notice these three words, what is truth? You know why he said that? He was destitute of truth. He didn't know what truth was. Right in front of him stood the very source of truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the verse. Turn back just a few chapters. Chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse number 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know what Jesus declared? He was the truth. If someone disagrees with that, that makes them a liar. Or it makes Jesus Christ a liar. I guess you've got to take your pick there. And if he's a liar, he couldn't be the Son of God, as he claimed to be. His sacrifice on Calvary could not be the payment for your sin, as he claimed it to be. But I'm going to take him at his word that he is the truth. So he is the source of truth. The wholesome words, Timothy said, Paul said to Timothy, the wholesome words of Jesus Christ are our source of truth. What a person believes about Jesus Christ will indicate whether they can be trusted when it comes to truth. I've got eight things I've written down here. We're not going to study them. I'm going to give you these things. Number one, there's the prophecy of His first coming. If somebody doesn't believe in the prophecy of His first coming, they're destitute of truth. I don't care how smart they are, what their IQ is. There's a meme going through right now about Albert Einstein saying something about, you know, believing in God and all that, and somebody made that up. I don't know who did, but somebody made it up because Albert Einstein did not believe in God. He said, I cannot believe in a God that's not a mathematical formula. He died an atheist. But somebody wanting to find somebody prominent, and however it worked out, they put it that way. They made it that way. He didn't believe in the prophecy of the first coming of Christ. Number two, he didn't believe in the place of his birth. The Bible prophesied, O Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be littlest among the nations of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth. They don't believe in the place of his birth that the Bible told it. They don't believe in the performance of his miracles. When he was here on earth for 3.5 years, healing the sick, raising the dead. Oh, that's just nonsense. When a person has those words come out of their mouth, write them off. You have no business listening to anything they'll say if they don't have it right about Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, that's going to eliminate a whole lot of people. Exactly. The prophecy of His first coming, the place of His birth, the performance of His miracles, the power of His words. No man spake like this man. The provision of salvation. I lay down my life. No man takes it from me. I lay it down myself. The promise of His return. I will come back and receive you unto myself. The permanence of His kingdom. It's to be an everlasting kingdom. If somebody doesn't believe the right things about Jesus Christ, they're on the short end of the stick. They might think they're a genius on something else, but they're a fool in God's eyes, and they're destitute of the truth. Don't give them the time of day. Don't read their books. Don't listen to their philosophies. Don't get their opinion. Don't go listen to Allison Walker or Alan Walker or anybody else like that. Jesus Christ is the truth. Look at John chapter 17. John 17. John 17 and verse 17. Jesus is praying to His heavenly Father. And He says to Him, sanctify them through Thy truth. Notice this, Thy word is truth. If you want truth, read this book. You want truth, read this book from Genesis to Revelation. So I can't read all that. Sure you can. It takes about 15, 20 minutes to read 3 chapters. That's not a very long time. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 3 chapters every day. Get through your Bible in a year. Get the Word of God in there. It'll clean a lot of other stuff out. It really will. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. There's a lot of thing that goes on in this world that you think it's okay. When you start reading your Bible, you realize how dirty it really is. But if you don't read the Bible, you become dirty like the world because you don't know the difference. Thy word is truth. You know, the Bible tells us that over and over and over again. We used to have a radio program, Bible Baptist Church, back when we were on Madison Avenue. It was on, I forget the radio, 107 point something or whatever. Back in the day, That was a local radio station, AM station, and Brother Ralph Bishard used to be on it a long time ago, and we got on there. The Bible is Right radio program. That's what we called it, the Bible is Right radio program. We had three truths. Number one, there is a God. That truth is established. Not everybody agrees with that truth. That makes them wrong, okay? There is a God. That God has written a book. That's an established truth. Not everybody agrees with that truth. But it's still true. There is a God. That God's written a book. And everything that book says is right. Whether it's dealing with evolution, whether it's dealing with climate change, whether it's dealing with human sexuality, whether it's dealing with marriage, whether it's dealing with the home, whether it's dealing with the government. Did you know all that stuff's in that book? And it's right every single time. It's never been proven in error. Folks have doubted it, questioned it, spent their lives trying to disprove it, and they've never been successful. Instead of wasting your time disbelieving it, just believe it. Because it is the source of truth. There are four times that the Bible is called the Word of Truth, and we don't have time to go through all that. But in 2 Corinthians 6:7, the Bible is called the Word of Truth. In Ephesians 1:13, the Word of Truth. In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Word of Truth. In James 1:18, the Word of Truth. The Bible is trying to impress upon you that when you read this, you're reading what's right. You know what the nice thing is about reading the Bible? Anything else you read, you have to sort what's right from what's wrong. Let's be honest. If I write something, now I know you think I'm infallible, right? I'm not the Pope. He's not infallible either, by the way. But anything that's written by any human being is not perfect. There's going to be mistakes because humans did it. Somebody would say, well, that book's written by humans. No, it was penned by humans. They were the instruments that wrote the words. It was written by God. That's why Moses and Isaiah, who lived on different continents at different times, years apart, could agree on the same offbeat things, that not the main topics, but unusual things, they could agree on it because the author was the same one. It was God. When a human authors it, you've got to separate what's right from what's wrong. I'm a voracious reader. I don't know which one I am. I read a lot. I read a lot of commentaries when I'm studying for messages and sermons and Bible studies. And with all of them, I have to sort out. And those men that I'm reading would be the first ones that would tell me, don't take everything I said for granted. Don't take it as being truth. Examine it. Check it out by the Word of God. Because it is the Word of Truth. Everything we believe and state and say can be tried by the Word of God. Because it is the sole source of truth. Look at Psalm 119. I'll give you a few verses, some verses here in this chapter because they're all together. But look at Psalm 119. And again, I recognize tonight that what I'm saying is not popular. Not just in society in the world, but in churches. Many times among Christians. Oh, preacher, there's truth that's not in the Bible. Let's talk later. Psalm 119. Verse 142. Psalm 119, verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. You realize that when all of the philosophies of man have been dead and buried for eons of time, God's truth will still endure. When this world is over in a thousand years or so, and it's all a memory of history, God's Word will still be truth. Said in verse number 142, I don't think I finished the verse. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth. Is the writer of the Scripture right? Is God's law truth? Well, if it is, then there's a lot of lies going on because a lot of people disagree with it. A lot of people teach contrary to it. Psalm 119, verse number 151. 151. Thou art near, O Lord. All thy commandments are truth. Verse 160. I like this one. Thy word is true from the beginning. What is the beginning? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's a true statement. Turn, if you would, all the way back to the book of Revelation. Let's go to the end of the Bible. Let's see if that changes. When we get to the end of the Bible, we're going to find out, well, you know, after all this time we look back, now we realize that not everything God said was true. Revelation chapter 19. Three verses, we saw three verses in Psalm 119, three verses in the last book, Revelation 19. Verse number 9. John says, the Lord told him to write this, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, that's God saying to John, these are the true sayings of God. Let God be true, Romans 3:4. Let God be true, and every man a liar. That's strong language, isn't it? Well, who's going to contend with God? These are the true sayings. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 5. Revelation 21, verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write. Again, John's the writer, but God is the author. He tells John, write. For these words are true and faithful. From beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, God's words are true. Revelation 22, verse 6, the third verse in Revelation. Revelation 22, verse 6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. You can mark it down. You can take it to the bank. That everything the Bible says is true. I'm so thankful when I sit down with that Bible in my lap and I read. I don't have to sort out truth from error. I don't have to figure out when God was right from when He was wrong. He's never made a mistake. There's no error there. The Word of God is our source of truth. So we saw, number one, the scarcity of truth. Number two, the source of truth. And that brings us to number three. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6. The scarcity of truth, the Bible declares it. They've turned their ears from the truth to fables. They are destitute of truth. They're intolerant of truth. The source of truth is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And if a man doesn't know truth, Jesus said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. I'm thankful I'm free. I don't have to worry about the next cockeyed thing the news reporters are going to tell me. I've got the truth. Ephesians chapter 6, the scarcity of truth, the source of truth, and now the standing for truth. The standing for truth. Are you going to stand for it? I didn't say the silence of truth. Truth has fallen in the street. There is no justice, no judgment, no equity, because no one's speaking for the truth anymore. It's scarce. The source is still there. But people aren't using it anymore. They're not taking advantage of it. They're being tossed about with every wind of doctrine, with every theory, with every issue. They have no foundation. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 says this, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." To withstand in the evil day. In a day of scarcity of truth, will you stand for the source of truth? Will you take God's side or society's side? God's side is not the popular side, but it's the right side. God's side is not the intellectual side, so to speak. But it's the smart side, because it's the right side. He says, "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Stand, therefore. Standing for the truth. Look at Philippians, one book after Ephesians. Philippians chapter 2. Verse number 15. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God," that's you, Christian, "without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse." There's that word again. You notice that word keeps showing up in relationship to destitute of truth? Perverse. Perverse, perverse. "In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. He that walketh with me walketh in the light." If you and I will stand for truth, while this world gets darker and darker, you have no idea. Again, we talked about how it started with this sin, and now here it is in this unbelievable condition where we're at right now. Can I give you a report? This is nothing. What we're seeing now, Alison Walker, Alan Walker, that's nothing. Wait 5 more years. And if you're sane, if you've got any sanity in you, it'll blow you away where we'll be by 2025 and by 2030. Because the wickedness is not going to get better. It's not going to peak and top off. It's only going to get worse. What do you and I do? We stand. Having done all, to stand. Well, preacher, don't you know that this is allowable now? This is permissible now? This is recommended now? If it violates or contradicts the Word of God, it's wrong. If it contradicts the wholesome words of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded where He said one time, "In the beginning God made them male and female and brought them together and said, for thus shall a man cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, one man, one woman, husband and wife." Those are the wholesome words of Jesus Christ. We're going to have to stand for them, because it's going to get rougher and worse. Smile. It's going to get worse. Smile. It's going to get darker. You know what that means? It means our light will shine brighter. The light shines brightest when everything around it is at its darkest. And you and I are to be lights for Jesus Christ. We don't see it so much in Guernsey County, Byesville, Cambridge. Not so much, but it's there. But it'll get here. Because the world, the Bible tells us, is a crooked and perverse, perverse, perverse nation. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The scarcity of truth. The source of truth. Standing. for the truth. Would you promise God tonight you'll stand for the truth? You'll not let wickedness and perverseness overrun you. But as a follower and a believer of Jesus Christ, you will vocalize what you believe and stand for the truth. It's not easy to do. When you're amongst a group of people that are teaching perverseness or immorality or sickness, and you stand up for the truth, you're going to be belittled. You're going to be criticized. You're going to be mocked and laughed at. And maybe that's not the right crowd to be around in the first place. But if you're going to stand for truth, you're going to have some backbone. You're going to have a firm foundation. Truth has fallen in the street. Father, thank you tonight for the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, we're so thankful that we do have that infallible source of truth. That Lord, we can examine and we can compare everything that's going on around us to what the wholesome words of Jesus Christ say. To what the Word that's been true from the beginning has to tell us, from beginning to ending. And Lord, help us tonight to be able, looking into the future, to make a promise to you that we will stand for the truth. Speak to hearts tonight. Encourage us. Build us up. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.